985thesportshub.com.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
Ryan is dead.
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I'm Leo.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Well, Dick, well, yeah.
Stop the hammering.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Well, this afternoon, Patrice Bergeron, the Bruins, Tutcher and Rich, and 98.5 The Sports Hub hosted the Pucks and Paddles Ping Pong Tournament at Royale in Boston. They raised $110,000, all to benefit Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center. Over the years, they've raised over $1 million.
We're really proud of that. You know, it's a big number, and, you know, everyone's working hard, the Boston Bruins Foundation and everyone involved in making this event possible, but also to raise the money. And you're right, you know, to go over $1 million over the past 10 years is pretty amazing.
Good morning, everybody. We are the Tutcher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studio, 617-779-0985. This is my last show ever. My last show before vacation. I'll be on a Disney cruise with my family and my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be very... interesting being with my parents. My parents, my mother especially. My father's just become kind of a dick. But my mom it now has this fallback of saying that she doesn't understand. You know, if you ask Freddie, I'm like, well, you don't know what you're talking about. She's like, yes, Freddie, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. Like, just like that she's losing her mind. You know, we have this new dog. And she says, you know, I talked to the woman who runs the boarding place where we take our dog, your stupid junkyard dog that bites people in the face and that you don't do anything about.
It bit you in the nose and made it bleed last time.
Yes.
It bit me in the nose and made me bleed.
And then so we have this puppy, and my wife was like, you know, it might have some pit bull in it. And I called my mom. She goes, oh, I'm sorry. And I said, all right. And then she goes... well, I talked to the woman at the boarding place, and the woman said that, you know, until it turns two, you don't have to worry about anything, and then once it turns two, it's a 50-50 shot that it will, be, you know, attack someone. And I go, what the hell are you talking about? And she goes, well, I wouldn't worry about it now. So in a year and a half, let's just ride the lightning until then.
Right now, a member of Paw Patrol, but in a year it'll be Cujo.
Yeah, exactly.
it's just cute and cuddly, and everyone loves the thing. And next thing you know, that sucker's ripping your throat out while you sleep.
And so
hangs out at the clubhouse.
So I said, what the hell are you talking about? And she goes, well, they don't show aggression until they're two.
Yeah.
And then so I said, and she's like, Freddie, it's not a big deal. It's not negative. I said, you said there's a 50-50 chance that this dog becomes a psychopath in a month and a half. How the hell is that negative? And first of all, who gave you that information? That can't be right, that there's a 50-50 shot. And I'm thinking, what the hell? And I go, did you look at a picture? I go, how did this all come up? And she's like, well, we were just having a conversation. I said, well, how much pit bull did she think was in the dog? And she goes, well, I didn't show her a picture.
So she's just like...
So I'm like, what the hell are we even talking about?
Wild guess.
So this is like, they found a three-year-old dog that was in a dog-fighting ring in the trash, and they brought it home. It's exceptionally vicious. What are the chances it attacks someone? Like, she didn't even show him a picture. This is going to be, I mean, this is going to be a nightmare. Because the boat, for some unknown reason, and this isn't that big a boat, mm-hmm. unfortunately. But for some reason, this boat's at sea for the first, three nights in a row, we're at sea. But they're going all the way to St. Martin, which is not close. I mean, that's a fairly substantial flight from Miami. I mean, that's like a 3.5 hour flight from Miami. So we're cruising from Port Canaveral to this thing, mm-hmm. and I'm going to be stuck on the boat with my parents. Yes. And I have no idea what my father's going to do, except for to have streaks in his underwear. I have no idea what my father's going to do, because he can't sit by the pool. He can't sit outside.
These are things you didn't think about before you actually booked a family vacation?
They bought it. They bought the thing. I mean,
all right.
So, I mean, I don't have, so we get on Saturday, and he, by the way, Nick just put that Saul Rosenberg's on the phone, and then he wrote prank. I would guess so.
I don't think it's the real one for the Jerky Boys. Yeah,
well, that wasn't real either. So you're saying Johnny Brennan's on the phone? I would imagine Saul Rosenberg is a prank. Thank you.
Right. There's another guy calling in on line two named Kissel. I'm wondering if
Kissel was very underrated.
Well, Kissel might have been the best Jerky Boys character yet.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
I would go with Kissel, too.
The one thing with cruises, though, and I've never done one, not that I won't ever do one, but I think the reason I've always hesitated is for almost what you're saying, is that I like to be able to call an audible at any moment and just leave where I am, and just I'm done.
See,
I can't take it.
I like the cruise because and I like being at sea because what it does is that you don't have that option. So there's really nothing to worry. I mean, there's what's gonna. I mean, if I want to go to the bar at 11 o'clock in the morning, what the hell else am I gonna do?
See, I've only done that like a couple times, but I've done it, and I have a feeling that if I got onto something that I knew I was gonna be on for 7 days, and in day one it's miserable, then I would hate it. And that's the whole reason I've never done one.
Nah, they're all right.
Okay.
I've been on a crappy one, and even a crappy one's all right. I told you I was on that one stupid cruise. I was doing a silent auction, and this guy's like, and for $3,000, this cruise was up. And it was like Barefoot Cruise. The guy ended up killing himself that ran it, so they no longer exist.
Jeez. Oh,
this guy's like, yeah, you know, like he's like Captain Jimmy Buffett, you know, you just take your shoes off, have a good time. And so I said, okay, and I bought it, and it was hell on earth. Every night I would drink wine and take an Ambien to go to sleep. It turns out for $3,000, this is a boat that probably slept 150 people. It was like a small-ass boat, really small. And we were under the water. In the bathroom was the toilet, was in the shower, and it was bunk beds. And so I would take it just to get the day over with. And then you would get on a diesel like dinghy, and it would take you into the, I mean, it was hell. And the people were just scumbags. I saw a guy getting oral like on the front, and it was not two people you wouldn't see getting oral. It was, and then there was people that were fishing. It was awful. Just it was being trapped on a boat with like a work release program from jail.
You're proving all my points of why I don't want to go on a cruise.
No. This was this boat's small for boats, and there's 2,500 rooms. So I mean it's two malls put together.
Okay.
No, the super Jimmy Buffett cruise.
So you're trapped in the Mall of America on the water. Is what you're saying.
They're not trapped. Yeah, but you don't have anything to do. You don't have to get up at 3:45 and broadcast.
Oh, now that's good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you are where it's warm. But no, but the Super Jimmy Buffett guy. Remember when we first got in the air and I started railing on that guy?
Yeah.
And then he was like listening.
I didn't know he was listening.
Oh, yeah, he was like listening. He was in from wherever the hell he lived. And my wife was like, you know, he was listening. And I go, good. I hate him. I hate him. Just get a drink in your hand and get on the boat. Because it's a sailboat. No, it's not. It's a boat that has sails that runs on diesel fuel. And just in this pillowing smoke comes out of it. Just cruising the islands with a drink in your hand. Yeah, great. There's one place to eat where we never ate. Because it was just gruel. It was like hardtack and crap. And so they, you would sit in this, and that was the dining room. Just awful. So, I'm going to be with my parents, which is going to be, I don't know, my father's going to lose his mind. Like, they have these offshore excursions,
mm-hmm.
and they've taken everyone that, like, no one would want to do. Like, a tour of Puerto Rico. Like, a tour of San Juan. It's going to be them and, like, two other, like, 90-year-old people. Like, what do you want to do? Let's get on a bus and tour San Juan. What fun on vacation. Hopefully, they put in some historic relics. That would be fun.
So 7 days is how long you're on this thing?
Oh, baby.
Seven joyous days.
Yeah, Sunday to Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind. I'm not. They take your children all day. And then there's video games.
There you go. See, hop them up and hand them back to you later on.
There's half the boat is for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just go away. And then you have my parents. My mother fretting about everything.
Well, I will be thinking about you as I am here with Adam Jones next week.
You can just gaze at those teeth.
The Dark Lord will be sitting to my left.
It's going to be real tough to find sunshine.
The sports vulture.
I know.
So we just can't. We can't get Hardy anymore.
No, Hardy is. He asked for those first 2 days. Hardy's going to be in the end of the week. He's going to be on Thursday and Friday.
Okay.
But no. He just had a vacation plan, yeah. And so until then. We got the vulture.
Very exciting.
Sports vulture.
Oh, we've never worked with Adam Jones.
I haven't. They asked me if I would mind. I was like, no, bring him in. I don't care. I'm actually looking forward to having him in here.
Because I think Dan Roach is gone. I don't think Dan Roach is ever doing this show again.
We'll talk about it in a minute. Because I talked to him during Pucks and Paddles, which we'll also discuss too. Because it was a great event. But there were some interesting things that happened there. But Dan Roach, I don't think he's off the reservation. But I think that
he's going to have to wait until he's taken like a couple months off.
He's a man who needs a hug. He needs one.
Yeah, he won't do the show. He won't do it.
He was trying to cheer himself up by wearing goofy socks. And I don't mean goofy as in like they were crazy. I mean like actual goofy
socks
from like the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Yeah, I didn't see him yesterday. Probably for the best.
And I told my children, I said, if I didn't know better, I would say stay away from a grown man wearing goofy socks.
Yeah. That's kind of a get in my van situation.
If it's anyone but Dan Roach, I'd be like, let's kind of run the other way.
Do you like, do you like Disney characters? All right, here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by Stone and Bank.
You're like 250 pounds in your upper body and about 30 pounds in your lower body. And legs are like sticks, man. You know,
just skip leg day.
Yeah, but he was a pretty good player though, man. I like Wiggy, man. One of the funniest things that happened to him too was like Bill found some old clips because Wiggy's always talking junk about how great he was. He found some old clips of Wiggy when he was playing at East Boston, like playing basketball, playing football, and he was actually playing quarterback in one of the games, and it was like the funniest stuff because he would like take the snap from the quarterback. He wouldn't drop back, take the snap, and stand straight up and hold the ball like this. and then like throw it to some dude. Like he was like bigger than everybody on the team.
Bill found these clips?
He found his clips. I don't know how he did it, man, but he found these clips and he showed them in the team meeting.
What does Wiggins do? Like, how does Wiggins take that?
More publicity for Wiggy. He probably loved this.
No.
That's not the guy you want.
Yeah, he didn't want those on there, but, you know, he was dogging the kids, too, man. He was so much bigger than everybody. He showed some basketball clips of him playing basketball. Yo. And, his game was pretty bad.
Okay, so we're back live now. And so yesterday, after the show, I get a text that says, "What's poppin'? Is this Rich?" And I texted him back and said, "Is this the most famous person to ever come out of East Boston? He's second behind Tony C or maybe Ratman." He said, "I heard you and my man Lock Dog," I guess that's Troy Brown, "Lock Dog, we're talking it up about on the radio station about me. How about you just have me on and then you get to the real? Wigs out." And to that, I'm like, well, I mean, I thought he was working right now. And I said,
apparently he is.
I said, okay, want to come on tomorrow? And So I just texted him. I said, where are you? And he goes, I'm coming. Just finishing my segment in 3 minutes. I have a feeling that Wiggy has no idea when he's supposed to be on the air and when he's not.
No.
I have a feeling that he just walks around the studio, and every once in a while they have to flag him down for something that they want him to do.
By the way, he texted you and said, I'm just finishing up my segment.
Yeah, right.
So during the segment, he's texting with you.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I just like that he calls in the show like every day, and then the one time we want him on the show.
No, the one time he asked to be on the show.
He should be on the show. He doesn't call in. Oh, yeah. Here's Wiggins.
Okay, right, is this him?
Yes, I would have to imagine this is Wiggins.
All right,
for me, I like chocolate and thick.
Okay, so.
All right. All right. Jermaine from East Boston. Hello, sir.
How you guys doing?
We're doing well. Now, what's going on your show right now?
Well, we just wrapped up some good stuff. We were talking a little bit of Kim Kardashian, you know, the same old stuff. We like to do on Hot 96.9 is we chop it up, what's going on in pop culture. What's going on over there?
How do you have enough time to listen to our show while working on a show?
It's called podcast, and I listen to a lot of shows when I get out of work.
No. You text us during the show.
Oh, you know why? Because let me tell you something. I got a lot of people on the streets that keep their ear to the streets, making sure when they hear my name, they get back to me. And it seems like you guys like to bring up my name a little bit.
You really have to have people with their ears to the streets to have them to listen to the radio.
Yes, I do. People that listen to the radio, and they keep their ear, and they say, hey, listen, your boys over there, Toucher and Rich, they're talking a little trash. You might wanna be aware of that. Here's what they said. So that's how I'm able to know what's going on in the community.
Okay.
Fred, you gotta get outside of that bubble in Newton, Fred. You gotta get in the communities.
What, to listen to the radio? I can listen to the radio anywhere. I can be in Brazil and listen to it.
It's more than that, Fred. It's more than that. Get outside the bubble, man. Get out of Newton.
Where do you live?
I live all over. I'm a man of many places.
Where do you live? Seriously, you have money.
I have money. I don't have money like you guys do. I live on the North Shore.
You play professional football.
What does that mean?
They pay you money.
It's lots of money.
Yeah, well, listen, I don't get paid like Brady. I played professional football a long time ago. I had 3 kids and a wife. One's in college, so hey.
You had a kid in college?
Huh?
You have a kid in college?
Yes, I have a daughter. She's a sophomore.
Oh, very good.
Look at you. Listen, I don't make as much money as you guys.
No, of course not.
You made.
You wouldn't be on the air right now.
So listen, here's why I'm calling.
Okay, why are you calling?
Like I said, my boys keep their ears to the streets.
You keep your ears to our show. Stop trying to spin it. I've talked to people who work with you that said you had to be spoken to because you were listening to our show during your show.
That's a complete lie. Fake news. Stop. Kids, don't believe what you hear, okay?
Keep your ears to the streets.
No one has spoken to me about anything.
Why are you not in the studio with them right now?
Because we have a break, and like I said, you guys were talking about me with Troy Brown. I want to know what it is. See, this is the deal. This is what I'm saying. Right now, you're at a nice distance away, but guess what? In a few months, you'll be in walking distance, so I'll just be able to walk down to the studio.
And you'll be doing a lot of walking in the hallways during the show when you're supposed to be on, hitting the vending machine.
Not paying attention to things you should be paying attention to.
Why do I have a feeling you're going to be on our show more than you're on their show once you come over there?
I'm on it. Listen, I love to talk on the radio. So regardless where it is, I will, like I said, we'll be in walking distance.
So that's a yes. You will be on our show.
How much
you're
paying? I might pop in every now and then. Like I said, you're going to be in our building, so I got to collect the rent now, and I might pop in. You know, somebody's got to clip the bird man's wings, right?
Okay.
I don't mind that part of it. You want to come in and rile up walking?
How much of a pain in the ass is it to get to Dorchester for you every day?
It's not a pain in the ass because it takes me 30 minutes. I'm up before the traffic's out there.
All right.
So it doesn't take long, Fred. You'll see me around. And like
I don't mind. I just don't want to work.
What are you going to do? Punch us? Is that what's happening?
No, he's not going to punch us. He's going to come in. He's going to defend himself.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to punch you. You're crazy. So you can run to HR and then you can sue me? No. Forget about it.
But you don't have any money. What would be the point of suing you?
I don't have. I got a couple of people that I know. If you guys get too slick, it'll just be a hot commute for you. Wait, like that.
If I got Feldman, your producer on the show right now, and asked him, and he gave me the rundown of what you've talked about this morning, would you get the questions wrong? If I asked you what you talked about at 6:05, would you even know?
No, we just talked about it. I'll tell you what we just talked about.
You just threw out Kardashians because that's just the go-to topic.
Yeah, listen, what we just talked about is should somebody get with the whole Blake Griffin thing and his ex-girlfriend wants money because she was with him for a long time, should somebody get money from a person that they would with for a significant amount of time and that person walked away on them and they're not married? And I said, no, they don't deserve any money. Just because you're in a, that's why you get married. So if it doesn't work out, boom, you can get money from alimony. So that's what we talked about. If you want to know what we talk, how about you guys turn on the station and listen to us?
And we got to talk on the radio. But listen,
you guys don't talk on the radio. I hear you. You don't tune no talk.
Yeah, you do hear us during your show.
Hey, on the podcast, I hear you. You're not talking about nothing.
No, that's true. I mean, there's not a lot
to talk. What does he know? What is he talking?
I know. See, is it true that Troy Brown told us that you made jackets that said, like, East Boston's Finest?
Yeah. You want one? I can get you one.
You
one that says Dr. Detroit on it.
Well, I have all the promotional shirts from the Dan Aykroyd.
You actually made your own jacket that said East Boston on it?
Listen, have you not seen my T-shirts? You can actually go to Wiggy's World Podcast and get wiggysworldpodcast.com. You can go get my T-shirts. Yeah, so I got T-shirts, jackets, whatever you need. It's called getting out there, being in the community.
Have you sold one?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Sold more than one.
Two?
I only like them apples, Fred.
There's no way you've sold more than a dozen.
Would you like me to show you?
Like on a receipt?
On a receipt. It's called bring your receipts.
Like to see that.
Okay,
honestly.
So when you guys get here, when you get into Dorchester, when you come into Dorchester.
Hopefully in 3 years.
At 3 years. Listen, how about this? As soon as you get here, I'll show you the receipts, okay?
Okay. All right. Well, that would be enough time for you to buy some of your own stuff.
I got some. And I'll even bring you some stuff. I'm going to bring something special for you, Fred. I'm going to get extra small. I'm going to bring it for you. And it'll be nice for you. You can wear it out in New Inn, and people can look at you and say, wow, finally you have some style. You don't look like a homeless person.
I would love to know where you live. There's no way you live in a bad neighborhood.
Listen, my mother lives in East Boston.
Fine. You live on the North Shore. Where?
The North Shore. I'm not telling you.
So you just told everyone where I live.
What, they're going to stalk your town?
That's right, they're all going to go to the town, Wiggy, to try and find you.
I'm on the North Shore. You can find me anywhere. I might even be in Newton in your neck of the woods sometime.
Oh.
You might see me at the Panera Bread down in Newton Center.
Okay, right. I live within walking distance of there. I live within walking distance of there.
So you might see me down there. See, I get around. Stop being in the community, Fred. You should try it. Get outside of Newton.
Nah, I don't need to do that.
You sure? I got to know some great chicken pond places, and I'm putting together a new 98 mile, but I'm not gonna let you know when it's coming out.
Well, how about in the meantime, you just drop one of those awesome freestyles you're known for?
No, you gotta pay me for the freestyle. I'm like Kanye West now.
Come on, Wiggy, we got the beat ready to go. Let's hear it. Let's go.
You gotta pay me. You gotta pay me $25.
All right, I'll give you $25.
I gotta go.
I will give you $25.
No,
let's hear it.
To go to work. Come on now.
Come on, bird man. I'm gonna clip your wings.
Okay.
All right.
I look forward to seeing you.
All right, thanks, Wiggy.
Hey,
all right, there you go.
Nine 8.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, the good news regarding spring training down in Fort Myers is that we saw Dan Roach, and he's doing well. And even though he wasn't able to be down there this year, he still got Red Sox fever, and we'll just have to get a taste of it from Dan last week. But
Dan is not coming on the show anytime soon.
No, he's not. He's not. And we will have him on eventually. I'm sure he will have his beginning of the season poem ready to go.
I think we have to wait for spring training to end before he will talk to us.
You're probably right.
No, I'm not kidding.
No,
for the boys to come to Boston.
No, you're probably right. That is probably
because
true.
Because he's absolutely paranoid that he is going to make his company, his station look bad.
Well, I mean, listen, he's obviously someone who's been going to spring break for 25 years, or spring training for 25 years.
Spring break for him.
Yeah, it really is. It is.
Don't need girls, just lots of popping in the mitt.
Yeah, so, but either way, he was doing just fine. But amongst all of his tweets with gifts of Woody and Buzz, he did tweet out something yesterday that is pretty incredible. And that was the fact that as of right now, there isn't a single player on the projected 2018 Red Sox 25-player roster that wasn't on the team last year. When's the last time that happened?
Never.
I can't even remember a time. Well, maybe that's because so many people were approaching Dave Dombrowski in the Dunkin' Donuts by his house and telling him, don't make any moves, like he apparently told us a few days ago. Did you hear that clip?
I did. I think that is a bold-faced lie.
Okay, of course it is. See if you can dig that up. And good for Steve Buckley. He was down there. It really is just kind of like sharks sensing chum in the water, because you've got Buckley on one side, you've got Shaughnessy on the other. And they're just going all in on, why haven't you made any moves? The Yankees have stockpiled and loaded up, and you're sitting here, and nothing has been done. And it's been funny to watch, to be quite honest.
No, Shaughnessy, in every clip we've played, has young birds in his fro.
Yeah, you can hear the birds chirping, and you can hear the swish of the fro in front of the microphone.
It's Dombrowski was like, Dan, would you mind getting out of the wind?
Yeah. Do you have the Dombrowski clip?
Do you want talking with Shaughnessy or Buckley?
No, the Buckley one.
Okay,
the Buckley one's great, because Buckley's like, hang on, what?
I like Buckley, and then I want to hear Shaughnessy just to hear if there's birds.
That's fair. Okay, here's the Buckley one.
I recognize that your job is baseball ops and other conditions, but there's clearly been some frustration from Red Sox fans. I'm not suggesting that you would then speed up a trade to make to mollify the fan base, but at the same time, are you aware of that? Are you concerned about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I read some stuff, but it's interesting when you say that, and I'm sure that there is a segment, but I will just say, as I'm walking in here, I have a few people saying, don't do anything, don't make any moves, you know. So I mean, there is really, you know, when you say that, I go out every morning, I have a cup of coffee and sit at a Dunkin' Donuts, and I bet you I have about 10 people a day that talk to me, and it's really split. So I mean, your pulse, you must hear that, and probably that's a louder voice. But people are very supportive of it. Don't do anything that you think is unwise.
I'm sorry. So you're being approached by Red Sox fans who...
But I sit in Dunkin' Donuts by myself, and they come over and they talk to me.
No, but you're talking to a segment of Red Sox fans who say, don't make any moves?
Yeah, and individually, not a big group, but on an individual basis, yeah. Don't do anything unwise.
Don't do anything unwise.
There's both.
Okay.
Right. Who the hell knows what Dombrowski looks like, first of all? Enough where, like, if you saw him, like, the radar would go off in your head and, like, must approach gray-haired dude.
Silver-haired fox, excuse me.
Like, I would venture to guess that if you were out, how many, if a Red Sox player was out, how many of them do you think would be immediately recognizable that people would go up to them?
Dustin Pedroia, instantly. Everyone in town would get Dustin Pedroia.
I think enough people know about Betts, Benintendi's...
Benintendi and Betts, you're kind of pushing
Betts
it.
Betts is not a big guy.
No, I know he's not a big guy.
Sale is a big guy. People might know. David Price, obviously, people know what it looks
like.
My point being is that obviously not the majority of... I mean, you can toss out the entire bullpen.
Sure.
People
don't know what Kimmerer looks like. Sure.
I mean, not enough to go up to him.
I'm agreeing with you here.
I mean, I know he's got...
That's not right.
And so you're telling me that Dave Dombrowski... Is at, first of all, Dunkin' Donuts must pay an assload of money to the Red Sox, because he dropped Dunkin' Donuts 55,000 times in that thing.
Sure.
But you're telling me that enough people are like, oh, hey, the old guy, that's the president, that's the GM of the Red Sox.
Oh, okay, well, let's just say that everyone does know what Dave Dombrowski looks like. And just, you know, like, he's a household name.
Ten
household
guys
face.
A day.
I know, it's like, he's they just can't stop throwing
the 3 minutes
upon
he's in Dunkin' Donuts.
It's traffic. It stops traffic.
It's the Beatles. It's Hard Day's Night. Dombrowski can't get away.
But let's say that they did know. You're telling me that when people come up to you and say, hey, you know, I know that the Yankees got Giancarlo Stanton, all right? I know that they got one of the best players in baseball. You know what? Just don't do anything. Do me a favor. Please, Dave, please. There's only one thing I can impress on you. Please, don't make one move. I like the team the way it is, not doing anything.
I'm more fascinated that he said that he was, and I think Buckley was too, that people go up to him.
No, Buck was taken aback. He wasn't. Yeah. He was startled.
I mean, like, you're telling me that you go out and that many people recognize you.
So what's
we're
next?
On TV every day and no one says anything to me.
So what's next? Dave's going to walk around claiming he invented the rap? Possibly. Yeah, maybe he's borderline Bobby Valentine now.
Hey, Dombrowski.
Yes, Bobby Valentine.
What
Bobby
are we going to do? There's no coffee left. Shh. I'll press it. Don't worry.
Bobby V, what are you doing here?
I thought you had gone to, what was it, Sacred Heart? Is that what you're doing?
Yes, sorry, he is the athletic director at Sacred Heart University.
I made the cargo into space.
No, that was Elon Musk, I believe.
That's what they want you to think.
That was you?
That was me.
Why?
I said to Elon, you know what would be cool?
A car in space?
If you put a car in space.
That would be kind of cool, but there's a lot of steps.
And then he's like, I don't know how to do it. I go, don't worry about it. I'll make a rocket booster.
And what did he say to you?
Bobby, you can't do it. You're never going to do it. I said, get me a lab coat.
A lab coat?
That's right.
It's some right angles.
Why do you need a lab coat?
All I need is a compass in a lab coat.
A lab coat?
The Pythagorean theorem.
After all, I built a fence.
Yes.
And invented the rap.
That is the best. I want to hear that Dave DeBrasi clip 15 times this morning. That made me laugh so much yesterday. I mean, just there's so many different levels of what the hell are you talking about in that. And thank God Buckley was there to just follow up. It's like, hang on, okay, you're telling me, and just continuing. By the way, someone said, when will famed Red Sox poet laureate Angry Dick Flavin be making his return?
He's kind of been off the mark.
He kind of lost his fastball in the middle of last year. Kind of called in and just started like throwing like shout-outs to Sarge. And I'm like, I don't know if this is going anywhere.
That's enough. Maybe it is Sarge. Who knows?
Maybe Sarge might be talented after all. We never know.
All right, so we will have more. We'll be right back.
Yeah, it's great to have with us a Red Sox poet laureate, Dick Flavin. Great to see you, Dick.
Good to be aboard. Good to be aboard.
We understand that you have a brand new poem.
I have an opening day poem. Would you like to hear it?
I would love to hear it.
The long snowbound winter casts a dark pall till one day an umpire hollers play ball. Then skies start to brighten, blue displaces gray. Baseball springs eternal, it's opening day. The birds start to sing. The trees are in bloom. The umpire's dusting home plate with his broom. It's a brand new beginning, something we all cheer. It's baseball's way of Happy New Year. And then there's another line in there. And baseball playing, it's a Happy New Year. And it goes on and on. Whatever.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
No, not very good. Not very good.
Five, the sports hub. We are Toucher and Rich. That is. Does Dick Flavin still do anything?
Yeah. Like he does like book signings and things. Anytime anyone sees Dick Flavin out and about, I get tweeted about it.
It's like the groundhog. It's very rare. You know, he usually is a harbinger of just awesomeness to follow.
You would think that after that display,
that was one of my
Nesson, that there would be there would be a little fallout.
And it goes on and on. Whatever. Give me the hell out of
the old give up slide.
Your one job is to write one poem.
Right?
You have 364 days.
What is that?
And it goes on and on. Whatever.
Okay, it does.
Good. You had 364 and a half days to write a poem. A dumb baseball poem and you couldn't do it. Rock and roll, Mike. Hello.
Rock and roll, Mike! Yeah!
What's up, Rock? What are you doing, Rock and roll?
Yeah.
What's up? You have a phone today.
What? I got a phone. What is going on there, people?
I didn't hear one word. So what's happened? What's your plans for the weekend, Rock and roll, Mike?
Well, I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know what I'm doing, man. I don't know. And that way, everything going on. Here we go.
Rock and roll, Mike, when was the last time you went to sleep?
I think he yanked the phone out of the wall.
Rock and roll, Mike, use the rotary phone.
Rock and roll, Mike, it's one call and that's all.
Rock and roll, Mike,
back in the cell.
Rock and roll, Mike was assaulted for the phone.
Rock and roll, he calls it. I can't even say what the guy's
saying. Rock and roll, Mike had to give up his phone. Because that was a big guy.
Okay, Rock and Roll Mike calling in. It's always random. Oh, there's somebody.
I didn't hang up on Rock and Roll Mike.
No, of course we didn't. Rock and Roll Mike just did. Everything went too crazy and flailed his arms around and something happened with the phone. don't know. Who knows?
Rock and Roll Mike smuggled the phone in his butt. What's that called? Chipmunking or not chipmunking?
I don't know.
Keistering. He keistered. I keistered the phone. Rock and Roll Mike had an issue getting it out.
Okay, he's back on. Let's see what Rock and Roll Mike.
Rock and Roll Mike, when was the last time?
Yeah.
When was the last time you went to sleep?
I don't remember.
All right, so Rock and Roll Mike, it seems like you've been partying for a long time.
I've been what?
Partying for a long time.
I always party. I rock and roll all night and party every day.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Come on. 98.1.
How was your Valentine's Day?
Rock and roll.
Okay. Rock will always live. How was your Valentine's Day, Rock and Roll Mike?
It was beautiful. How was your Valentine's Day, man?
It was fun. You've had a girlfriend, right?
I have many girlfriends.
Ooh,
Rock and Roll Mike spreads hepatitis. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
That's right.
Oh yeah.
Rock and Roll Mike,
Rock and Roll Mike,
when you were...
I am coming on.
Yes.
All right, Rock and Roll Mike. When you approach a young lady, how do you approach them if you are in the mood for love?
Well, they approach me. I don't approach a woman. They approach me because I'm just I'm a rock and roll individual.
Are you excited that the Red?
That's how it goes.
Well, you got to be excited that the Red Sox season is about to start. Because
Rock and Roll Mike.
It's
been nice.
I had the over under at 6 minutes.
Okay, that's when you know.
Yeah.
Yes, we're good old Rock and Roll Mike. His phone sounded better the second time though.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's always a treat.
That's right. Well, listen, maybe. The reason that Dave Dombrowski's not making many moves is because we did find out something yesterday about the drama. Remember all the drama we heard about behind the scenes near the end of the Red Sox season? It's pretty much being confirmed by the guys in the clubhouse that most of it was true. Here's Mookie Betts on the tension in the locker room last year.
I think just tension in the locker room as far as if things are down, we have to find a way to smile and go out and refocus on the game now versus kind of what's been going on. I think this year will be a little different. I'm going to approach things a little differently as far as, if I'm not playing well or if we're losing and whatnot, I can do my best to try and find a way to get everybody back happy, smiling, excited, and going to play.
He said later on that we weren't as urgent as we should have been in the playoffs. He said other teams were coming out ready to go, and we were kind of lax for the last 2 years, and we know that.
So it's Pedroia. It's Pedroia and Price. That's the problem.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, they're the leaders. They don't want to be, by default, they're the leaders in the clubhouse.
Well, Price made it all about himself. I mean, there's no debating that it's Price. I mean, Price made everything about himself, and that, obviously reflects on the team, and then the team has to deal with your BS because you have absolutely no backbone. And then it's Pedroia, starting with the incident in Baltimore, when they were throwing at Adam Jones, and then, like I told you, I heard that he was one of the, him and Price were the main guys in that Eckersley thing.
Just overall, though, Pedroia went out of his way in September talking about leadership. You know, I'm right here. I'm the leader of this team.
No, you're not.
But that was the point. I mean, that supposedly he was, a lot of people, including myself, have assumed that he would be the de facto captain of the team after Ortiz left. And if that's the case, because he's the longest tenured guy in there now, I think, I mean, just listen to what the younger players are saying.
Yeah, and because it's not like Betts and Bogarts had been there long enough, obviously, that they weren't the attention of the media last year.
You're also not very outspoken.
No. So, I mean, if you have to deal with other people's crap on a daily basis, that's not going to, go over well. If you have a controversy every month coming out and you got to sit there and answer questions about it, I mean, what are you going to like them? Like, you're going to go, hey, David, you're great. Like, thank you so much. Thank you so much for making my job Before and after every game to explain your behavior.
It sounds to me like Betts and Bogarts have had enough.
Yes.
And are going to step up and take leadership roles themselves.
They're old enough now.
For Betts, who is your best player,
yes.
I mean, this is the guy you're hoping to get it from. So
I don't know if they're going to step up, because Xander Bogarts was pretty vague yesterday when he was being asked about whether he was going to stick around.
Listening to Mookie Betts, it sounds to me like he's had enough and is going to step forward.
I like Betts. He's saying all the right
things. I got to make sure the guys are relaxed. Yeah. I got to make sure that, I mean, it's my guys are relaxed. I mean, it sounds to me like he wants to be the leader of this team, which is perfect, because this is exactly what the Red Sox need.
The young guys have been here long enough that they can finally take control.
They also need a regulator to come on in.
Fireball.
Alex Cora.
That's right.
He's going to change the whole culture.
Alex Cora, a.k.a. Pitbull, just walking in front of the old sicko sign.
Right.
Slow-mo in the Red Sox publicity photo.
Hang on. Do we have the shot yet, Alex? We need you to do it again.
Do it again. Look even more slow.
We look better in black and white this time.
Right.
Well, between him and Dave Dombrowski, I mean, there's just... Everyone's falling and skiing.
Everyone's like doing aerials. Oh my God!
Did you see the guy break his neck last night?
Yes.
No. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
it was ugly, ugly, nasty. But now on television, we're watching the women's aerials competition, and that wind, which is going across the course, is wrecking everybody.
Literally, everyone's falling.
Yeah.
I mean, that's dangerous.
Well, you know, you get what you sign up for when you're one of the four people in the world that do it.
I agree, but Jesus, look at this.
Well, that's, you know, it's like basketball. It's like, you know, it's just easy. All you need is a ball and a hoop.
Right.
All you need is a huge ramp to go off of.
Look at that one's head first.
Awful. No, they're all falling.
The side of the mountain.
They're all falling.
Oh, my God.
It's actually quite interesting. You just figure out how they're going to fall. All right, we'll talk a little bit about Cuts for a Cause. I talked to
Pucks and Paddles.
Whatever the
hell. We got a whole new one now.
Yeah, Pucks and Paddles. I talked briefly with Brad Marchand yesterday. No commercials here, just the headlines.